Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. You're lovely. Yes, hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons. And as the minute waltz fades away once more, it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but throughout the world, but also to welcome to the program four exciting individual and diverse personalities who once again are going to show their verbal dexterity, their creative ingenuity and flair as they try and talk on a subject that I give them and try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And those four intrepid people are, sitting on my left, Fred McCauley and Maria McCauley, and sitting on my right, Giles Brandreth and Nick Revel. Please welcome all four of them. Beside me sits Janet Staplehurst, who's going to help me keep the score, and she'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Bonner Hall in the University of Dundee on Tayside, that great university which has sprung from small beginnings now to being a major university in Scotland. And they have a great principal who's leading the audience here, and a lot of students, a lot of people from Angus and other places further afield are going to cheer us on our way as we begin the show with Maria McCauley. And the subject, Maria, is cold turkey. Tell us something about cold turkey starting now.
Revenge is a dish best served cold. Sadly, the same can't be said of...
Now, we have a very difficult situation here because I have a light that comes on for the first buzzer to be pressed. And two lights came on together. It's never happened before. What?
I think
I'll ask Janet, you judge. I think it was Nick's almost infinitesimally earlier, was it? Right. So, Nick Revel, we grant you the benefit of the doubt that it was your light was first. Yours is the challenge. What is it?
I believe hesitation.
It was hesitation, Nick. You have the subject of cold turkey. You get a point for a correct challenge, and you have 53 seconds to take it over, starting now.
Cold turkey, one of the greatest singles by John Lennon, talking about his heroin addiction in a rock and roll style. But I prefer it in a sandwich with cranberry sauce on the 27th of December. On Boxing Day, which is also my birthday, I prefer not cold...
Maria challenged.
Prefers.
Yes, yeah. That's right.
I'm just so positive, you see. It's just all I prefer this, I like that.
I prefer this, I like that would have been okay.
I know. I know.
Maria, correct challenge, so you have cold turkey back with
Nicholas,
you.
Nicholas, can I just say, I feel I'm getting penalised for having big breaths in between my things.
Sorry, I thought you said big breasts.
Nicholas, oh, yes. You are an old ham who milked that like mad.
I didn't. I honestly thought you said that, and I really have what is known in professional terms. I've corpsed myself now.
And she's only 16.
Maria, you have the subject of cold...
Frankly, I don't want anything else more to do with you, Nicholas.
Darling, last time you were here, I was in one of your dreams, and I've never forgotten it. There are 37 seconds available. Cold turkey is back with you, Maria, starting now.
Cold turkey is also the term used when people come off very serious drugs, or clucking, as I think they say in Narcotics Anonymous circles. Myself, I have never clucked. Nicholas.
Giles, you challenged.
There was hesitation as she turned and looked lovingly at you.
Maria, there isn't time to flirt. What is she doing?
Well, there's certainly less time for you than there is for me, Nicholas.
Yes, all right. A good remark. Give her a bonus point for that, because the audience enjoyed it. Shows you how generous I am. Giles, yes, hesitation. 26 seconds. Cold turkey starting now.
When I played the part of Dr. Loulittle in the musical of the same name...
Nick Challenge.
Loulittle? What was it, about a man who could talk to animals in a chemical toilet shop?
Parsons.
Here, little hamster, come here. This Loolittle will be just right for you.
I was about to explain this was an aquatic version of it. We did it underwater.
Okay, just checking.
Well, I didn't think you got as far. I think you should have established that right from the start. Otherwise, it does sound like deviation, and which I have to grant it, therefore, Nick, within the rules of just a minute. So, Nick Revel, you have 22 seconds on cold turkey starting now.
Cold turkey is not as good as curried turkey, but back to John Lennon and cold turkey.
Giles
John Lennon, of course.
John
repetition.
Lennon, you repeated it,
John
yes.
Lennon.
And Giles got in first.
Yeah.
16 seconds, Giles. Another point to you. And cold turkey is with you starting now.
When I essayed this particular role, the only character I did not get on with very well was the person who played the turkey, for she was cold towards me. Her name was Tilly Taylor, and the reason that she did not like me was because I was playing the lead and she was playing merely this bird, and she had this dressing room up at the top of it.
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Giles Brandreth, who has now three. Nick Revel and Maria McCollian have two. Fred McCauley hasn't he's spoken, but he hasn't, not within the show. And, well, it's early days. Giles, we'd like you to take the next round. The subject is People Like Me. 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
People Like Me.
And Nick Chum.
Deviation, there's nobody like him.
Nick, we'll give you a bonus point because everybody enjoyed that particular remark of yours, but I don't think you can have it in for deviation or hesitation or anything like that. So, Giles, you have a point, of course, Giles, for being interrupted, and you have 59 seconds. People Like Me, starting now.
People Like Me love words. We agree with a philosopher who said, no matter how eloquently a dog may bark, he cannot tell you that his parents were poor but honest. People Like Me believe that a slight inclination of the cranium is as adequate as a spasmodic movement of one optic to an equine quadruped utterly devoid of any visionary capacity, when really what we are attempting to say is the nod is as good as a wink to a blind horse. People Like Me, I find it hard to believe. I used to be liked by those who were interested in knitting and wool, fetishists of a kind. They seem to have an enthusiasm for me. But People Like Me, is that true? When I was a member of Parliament, I found thousands hated me. Indeed, I united an entire community. 37,000 individuals got up on the selfsame day to say that they did not like me. They came to the polls. They kicked me in the groin. As it was humiliating to say that people like me is a contradiction in terms. When you have been an elected representative in the Mother of Parliaments, you know that people like me is not a phrase that can be uttered by normal human beings. Of course, it could not possibly be in the whole history of...
So that verbal tour de force by Giles kept him going till the whistle went. Actually, he actually went for 59 seconds because he was interrupted after 1 second, so he did get a point then. Because normally if you go for 60 seconds, you get a bonus point. Oh, I think we should give him the bonus, don't you?
Yeah.
One for speaking as the whistle went, and a bonus point for not being interrupted, and even though he did actually repeat one or two things, but they let him generously go, because they knew you were loving it, and he was loving it himself. I can tell that from his face. And, Fred, it's your turn to begin. The subject is the school disco. Oh, that's got a little reaction,
didn't it?
We all know what school discos are about. Talk about them, Fred, if you can. 60 seconds, starting now.
Sadly, when I was a young man just venturing on the great
Crikey. Nick, you
perilous.
The great hulio, yeah.
Hesitation.
I've just lost the ability to speak now.
Oh, it happens. 55 seconds. The school disco with you, Fred. And sorry, with you, Nick Neville, starting now.
I used to hate the school disco. Firstly, it was a disco, and secondly, it was at school. Two of the most horrific experiences that you could have in a social situation put together. You had to spend all week stealing booze from the local supermarket, pretending you were going to get completely legless so that all your mates could have a laugh because they'd be legless as well. And if you...
And John.
Oh,
John.
Yes.
Oh.
I forgot the
record. The audience are concentrating. Did you notice that? Legless. Giles, you were in first. 35 seconds of school disco starting now.
At my school, we always had a costume disco where we went in different outfits. I usually came dressed as a handbag so that the girls would dance around me. I had a second sort of outfit that I wore, which involved me wearing two left shoes.
Nick challenged.
Yeah, it was repetition, but it was wrong. Because it was wearing and wearing.
No, it was outfit.
No, outfit.
He usually came dressed the first time and wearing the second time.
Yes.
He's quite clever at this, you know.
I know, he's...
I know. Two outfits.
Almost slippery.
Two outfits.
I know, it's too late, though, darling.
Sorry.
Right, so, Giles, you've still got the subject. You've got an incorrect challenge. Another point to you. 13 seconds starting now.
The school that I went to was called Beedale. It is in Hampshire.
Maria, you've challenged.
Two outfits earlier.
Yes, earlier. Before you were challenged by Nick Revel, you did say outfit twice, so you're entitled to hold back and spot it and not come in too soon so that everyone has a fair crack.
But
so
the outfits were different. One of them was a handbag.
You're being too devious now for the show. Right. Maria, you have a correct challenge in 11 seconds on the school disco starting now.
I have terrible memories of the school disco, standing in the sidelines waiting for that...
Nick, challenge.
In the sidelines?
Yes, you can
be rather inelegant, I thought. On the sidelines.
I wasn't a very elegant child.
Not really poetic.
No, it wasn't. Maria, you have 8 seconds on the school disco starting now.
10cc's I'm Not In Love was always the last song to be played at the school disco, and I would be vomiting with dry cider all...
So, Maria McCurlane, speaking as a whistle win, gained the extra point again. She's now equal with Nick Revel in second place. They're 3 points behind James Brandreth, and they're just a little way ahead of Fred McCauley. Giles, you take the next round. The subject now is dog training. Tell us something about dog training in this game, starting now.
At our home, we have a considerable number of dogs, including a mongrel who thinks he's called Down Boy, and a very sophisticated French poodle named Fido, spelt P-H-Y-D-E-A-U-X. They've all been trained by a professional in this particular craft, though the lady concerned unfortunately had a speech impediment, so that when she said sit, what happened was quite untoward.
It wasn't hesitation, it was timing. I'm sorry, I trampled.
Well, why did you
there.
Challenge?
Because I was allowing the...
Get on your microphone, could you please?
I was allowing this? The competition to get before the art there.
I think it was almost a correct challenge.
Well, it was a correct challenge, but at the same time, aesthetically... You know, I should have let it go, and then you could have ridden the laugh,
Nick, I've given the benefit of the doubt to Maria on a marginal judgment to Maria and to Fred. So now, on a marginal judgment, you have the benefit of the doubt, and you have the subject of dog training with 36 seconds starting now.
Dog training is not something I'm directly familiar with, but some friends of mine who have a mad black Labrador in Australia called Algernon have a very serious problem and need for dog training. Algernon eats toasters.
Giles, challenge.
We've heard Algernon before.
So, Giles, you've got your dog training back and you have 23 seconds. Tell us more about it starting now.
When I began to attempt it myself, I used a bull whip, but then realized I was confusing the poor animals, and so now I treat them entirely with kindness. I wrinkle up my nose, get down on all fours, and give little woofing sounds.
Maria, challenge.
Deviation.
Within the rules of just a minute, how do you...
Wait, wrinkling up his nose, getting down on all fours and giving little woofing sounds.
It's when a very devious idea, it's a very devious thought, it's a devious image, you see, Maria, but he wasn't deviating within the rules of just a minute, which is...
I must say, though, Nicholas, sorry to interrupt, but I must say it sounds better when Maria says it.
So, really...
I do think it is deviation from dog training. That's not necessary to do all of that to train a dog.
On the other hand, Maria, Giles is an unusual person. That maybe is the way he trains his dog. Giles, you have the benefit of the doubt. So you've all had the benefit of the doubt now, and you have 11 seconds on dog training starting now.
Mrs. Barbara Woodhouse was, for me, the woman who taught me all that I need to know about dog training. She was a lady who had style.
Yes, Maria, you challenged.
Two torts.
There were two torts. Well done. Well listened, Maria. And, Maria, you've got in with 4 seconds to go on dog training starting now.
You can't teach an old dog new tricks, and Nicholas is living proof of that.
So, Maria McCullin, again speaking as the whistle went, is catching up on our leader, Giles Brandreth. She's only 3 points behind him. She's just ahead of Nick Revel and Brad McCauley in that order. And Nick Revel, your turn to begin. The subject, buried treasure. 60 seconds, starting now.
Pieces of eight.
Doubloons, emeralds, rubies as big as a man's hand, shouts the rag and bone man touring the streets of Knightsbridge. No, I'm just kidding, just getting you into the mood for one of the most exciting stories concerning buried treasure ever written by a Scotsman, Robert Louis Stevenson, Treasure Island. And I tell you, it happened to me once. There I was waiting tables at the Admiral Benbow, and I got this map from a drunken pirate. Off we sailed with a couple of cabin boys and a squire and a load of muskets and stuff. We got onto the island. We found the place on the map. We met a marooned person who was painted blue and red because two tankers had collided and the paint had gone everywhere. And then we realised we'd forgotten the spade. And oh, blimey. All the way back, we had to go to get the spade. And when we got there... Oh, no.
Dear cousin.
They were so generous they let you go through that longest pause we've ever had in just a minute. And then when you come back in and got your breath, you come back with the same words. But Giles, you press first. Yes, we can't allow two spades. So you've got it in, and only 5 seconds to go. Right, buried. I know, but it is the rules of just a minute, isn't it? 5 seconds, Giles. Buried treasure starting now.
The day we buried treasure was a sad one for me. He was such a lovely dog. My favourite chihuahua.
So Giles Brander speaking as a whistle when getting that extra point has increased his lead. But what I forgot to say, Nick, you get a bonus point for that great tirade of yours, which the audience loved when he was interrupted. So you get a bonus point in there. And we're moving forward, and it's Fred McCauley, your turn to speak. Oh, a lovely Scottish subject here. Great. I knew all about this in my Glasgow days. Looking peely wally. That's the subject. And for the Sassenachs who are listening in, that's the, you know, everybody who's not Scottish, including people in China and India and everywhere else. I won't say what it is, because otherwise I take away from their thing. Right. Fred.
Yes, you just said everything I was going to say.
I know. And I realised I was stealing your thunder.
I've only got about 18 seconds to go.
I'm stealing your thunder. I'm very sorry. Fred, it's looking peely wally, and you have 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
As everybody in this audience knows, it's unusual for someone to look peely-wally because nobody ever looks peely-wally in full. They only ever look a wee bit peely-wally. Because that is what you say when someone is looking slightly under the weather. They may not be fit for work. They may be phoning from home.
Two maybes. Hesitation.
There was a hesitation.
Oh, right.
Yes, right. So you have the subject.
I got away with the maybes then.
Right. 40 seconds still available. Looking peely wally, starting now.
One of the reasons that I'm glad that I'm not Prime Minister is that after a few years, whoever does aspire to this post is told that they are looking whenever they come to Scotland peely wally. Inevitably, this is the price you pay for leadership. I, of course, was very loyal in my day. When Mr. Major became the leader of my party, I went grey overnight. Then, when William Hague became the leader, I started to go bald. I was only grateful that Anne Widdecombe did not succeed in her ambition. Because then, not only would have I looked peely-wally, but I would also have required to have some...
Fred challenged.
Some time ago, there were two leaders.
Yes, that's right.
You had two leaders. It was a long time ago.
But they generously let you go because they enjoyed it, but they did come in latterly with two leaders, and quite right, Fred, 10 seconds on looking peely-wally starting now.
Amongst my friends at school, we had different skills, but none more so than Lee Wally, who demonstrated what he was able to do every day on the way back when he would stand himself...
Well, do we say there that Fred McCauley was saved by the whistle? Anyway, he was speaking as a whistle. When he gained an extra point for that, he's now almost equal with Nick Revel in third place. Maria McCullin's in second place. Giles Brander is still in the lead. And Maria, your turn to begin. The subject, the youth of today. There's quite a lot of them in this audience here at Dundee University. So, or the University of Dundee, as they prefer. Would you tell us... Would you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
Youth is wasted on the young, so they say. I always feel that maybe age is squandered by the elderly as well. What's wrong with the youth of yesterday or the youth of tomorrow? Youth basically is overrated. As somebody, as Nicholas told me earlier on, it's... Oh, no, I can't really...
Charles, I don't know what you're going to say. She turns towards you.
No, I know, but I was going to say something which is very rude, to reveal a gentleman's age.
Well, that's absurd.
Is it?
I never told you what my age was. Nobody knows it.
No, but somebody...
Nicholas is younger than springtime.
No, but somebody had... Someone had painted it outside the university.
We are indeed in a 30-mile-per-hour limit, yes.
Giles, your challenge.
Yes, hesitation.
Yes, indeed, right. You have how many seconds? You have 42 seconds, the youth of today, starting now.
The youth of today, you can't beat them. That's the problem. No discipline. In my day, the role model was Billy Bunter at Greyfriars School. Now, there was the kind of youth of today that we should see. Somebody who was overweight, dishonest, and thoroughly abused as a child. But who's he abused by? Oh, blast.
Yes, Fred. Repetition of the word abuse.
Yes, there was too much abusing going on. So, Fred, you have 20 seconds. You tell us something about the youth of today, starting now.
I've seen Maria McCarlin's shopping list, and the top of the list... it's so long since I've played this game, it really is.
No, you must come back more often, Fred.
Right. Say that like you mean it.
Giles, you have 15 seconds on the youth of today, starting now.
Oh, crikey, said the fat owl as Mr. Quelch came into the room brandishing his cane.
I think there was a fat in his previous visit to this subject.
Billy Bunter.
Repetition.
Well, listen, Nick, you haven't been for a time, but you're getting the hang of it now, listening with sharp intention, I was going to say sharp ears, but that wouldn't be literal with sharp acclaim, right? 50. Isn't it lovely when you talk rubbish, really? It makes me so happy. It makes me. Not a senior moment, it's just rubbish. Right, it's 10 seconds on the youth of today, starting now.
The youth of today, I hate them. All they do is go out drinking and having sex with each other, and I can't do it these days because they won't look at me in the bars, and I drink and I just can't...
So, Nick Rebel speaking as a whistle wind, gained that extra point, and at the end of that round, he's... Well, he's in a very strong second position behind Giles Brandreth. And Giles, it's your turn to begin. And the subject now is hardy perennials, starting now.
For many people, the hardiest of hardy perennials is Tess of the D'Urbervilles. But I'm not interested in the works of the great Thomas. For me, Oliver Hardy is the one who has the perennial charm. As a child, I used to get the annuals in which he featured with his companion, Stan Laurel. And those hardy perennials were books that came in one's Christmas stocking every year and made one feel young and gay in the traditional old-fashioned sense of the word. You're quite right. There's a touch of Tommy Two Ways about me, but I'm suppressing it. Because I am taking flour from a hardy perennial in my garden. It's a kind of version of St. John's wort that makes sure that though I'm, because I'm married, I have the butch side in the ascendant. Hardy perennials come into their own in all sorts of different ways. You can think of, if you would, the great Hardy who was at Nelson's side at the unfortunate Battle of Trafalgar. If only he had...
Next challenge.
Well, deviation. I don't think that the Battle of Trafalgar was unfortunate. We spanked the French. That's always a very good thing.
Nelson, it was a rough day.
Well, true.
It was a tough call. It was unfortunate for him. You see, and I was talking about Hardy and Nelson and Kiss Me, and it was all linked to being Tommy Two Ways, and maybe if he had access to the same Hardy perennials that I've got in my garden, it might have worked out differently.
I know.
That was the background to it, but I'm quite happy to concede the point because the news has just begun.
So, Nick Rebel, 8 seconds for you. Hardy perennials starting now.
The hardy perennial is, of course, a plant which is a metaphor which can be applied to many things, such as jokes. Here is a twist on an old...
So, Nick Rebel was then speaking as a whistle when gained that extra point. And he was in second place. He's still in second place. He's moving up on a leader, Giles Brandreth. I'm giving you all these facts because we're going into the last round, alas. Nick Revel, it's your turn to begin. The subject is webcams. Very modern subject, but talk on it if you can. 60 seconds starting now.
Webcams is what you might think a spider makes its home videos on, but no, it's just another means of communicating with other people. You can stick it on the side of your computer screen and...
Giles Brenda's challenge.
Repetition of computer.
Yes. Two computers, I'm afraid.
Well, I've got two computers.
Which, give him a bonus point for that remark. Giles has got a correct challenge. A point to him. He takes over the subject. 47 seconds, Giles. Webcams starting now.
Until very recently, the only excitement in my domestic life was when I went into the kitchen, opened the refrigerator door, the light went on, and I did my little routine. Now that my computer has attached to it a webcam, I am able, actually, to send my communications to people while pulling funny faces. This does indeed amuse some people, but also it has brought the police around. I'm not sure quite why, but the constable came to see me and said, what you are doing in your webcam is not considered polite in our society. Nowadays, you are supposed to be simply using the webcam to communicate. Instead, you seem to be doing...
Nick, you've challenged.
To communicate? Send your communications.
No, you had two webcams, which were singular, and the subject is webcams.
I wasn't challenging on that.
I'm trying to help you, Nick.
I just... Oh, yes, that was it. That was it. Yes.
I just wanted to have an exciting finish. 11 seconds, Nick, on webcams starting now.
And if you're not communicating with email and webcams, you can text people and say, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just on the computer and the webcam.
Maria, challenge.
Sorry, there was another computer. You may have three
yes,
now.
You had a computer before when you were speaking. Maria, you cleverly got him with 2 seconds to go on webcams starting now.
I can be appearing on a webcam somewhere near you.
Yes.
Can I also point out to Nick that if you're texting somebody, you wouldn't be saying, what are you doing? You would be saying, what do you...
Let me give you the final situation. Fred Macaulay, who has achieved such wonders in the show in the past, but this wasn't one of his greatest days, but it's always lovely to have him, and we always enjoy his humour and his remarks. But he did finish just behind Maria McCullin, who was in third place, a point or two behind Nick Revel. But he was still 4 points behind Giles Brandreth. So say, Giles, once again, you are our winner. Thank you. So it only remains for me to say thank you to these four delightful players of the game. Sitting on my left was Fred Macaulay and Maria McCullin, and sitting on my right was Giles Brandreth and Nick Revel. And sitting beside me was Janet Staplehurst, helping with the score. We thank her. We thank our producer, Chris Sneal. We are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this game. And we do thank this lovely audience here at the Bonner Hall in the University of Dundee, who have been such a warm, passionate audience and given us such fun. And we hope you've had even more fun. So from our audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, from the team, goodbye. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute.